icon of the Eastern Orthodox Church. The icon is called the Theotokos, or the Mother of God. Some people cringe at that, but I don't. I think it's appropriate to call Mary the Mother of God. After all, when we say our creed, we say, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Lord. And we say about him, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. So Mary, indeed, the Mother of God. I want you to consider something, and I didn't put this in my sermon today, but I was thinking about it while we were worshiping. And it came to me that there was a time after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection that the disciples were in a room, and the doors and windows were locked and boarded shut, and they were shaking in fear. And it said, and Jesus entered the room and stood before them and said, peace be unto you. And then he said to them, spirits don't have flesh and bones. Touch me, Thomas, and see I'm the Lord. What I want you to consider is this. Jesus went into a room that was closed. With God, anything is possible. The angel Gabriel came to Mary, and she was perplexed. What do you mean? First of all, who are you? What is this apparition? Who is this person standing before me in glory? She didn't understand in her youth how she could conceive and have a child without having relations with a man. What are you telling me? It says. Mary said, how can this be? And 6 months earlier, the same angel, Gabriel, had visited Zechariah. If you read back a little bit in Luke, and this is the first chapter of Luke, so it begins the story, the angel Gabriel visited Zechariah and told Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son, and you're supposed to name him John. And Zechariah said, come on, we're really old. This isn't going to happen. When Zechariah did not believe the words of the angel, he was struck mute until after John the Baptist was born. Zechariah said, how can this be? And the angel Gabriel said, because you didn't believe the word that God gave you, you're not going to be able to talk until after the child is born. And when Zechariah agreed against tradition to name his son John, because you see the firstborn son is supposed to be named after the father, tradition said, name the son Zechariah, but Zechariah said, he wrote on a piece of paper because he couldn't talk. He said, the child's name is John. And at that moment, he could speak. His tongue was loosed. When you encounter the risen living Christ in you, your tongue is loosed in worship and thanksgiving for what he has done for you. When Zechariah questioned the validity of what the angel Gabriel had told him, the angel pronounced him mute. But when Mary questioned him, saying, how can this be since I have never known a man? The angel told her the answer to her question. He didn't strike her mute. Why was that? I think there's two reasons. Number one is that Zechariah was old and well-versed in the things of God. He was a priest. In fact, when the angel came to him, he was by the altar of incense in the holy place, tending that altar as a high priest in the temple. He couldn't claim innocence or purity as his excuse. He should have known that what God says, God will carry through. Mary was a virgin. Mary was a virgin maiden who was around 14 years old or so. She did not have the experience in her life that the older man Zechariah had. She was therefore not held as accountable. But there's another thing. The other thing was that for Mary, this was much more of a miracle, because in Zechariah's case, there was of necessity from Zechariah, input, so to speak, in order to accomplish what the angel had told him. In Mary's case, there was no prospective relations with a man, and none in her past had ever been. So if she were to have a baby, the conception would have to be a miracle. The Immaculate Conception of Mary was a miracle. The angel Gabriel told Zechariah that I, the angel Gabriel, stand in the presence of God, and I hear what he says, and I tell you his words. And Zechariah said, I'm not sure if I believe you or not. When he said these words to Mary, Mary was in agreement with the angel and said these words. She said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Be it unto me according to your word. And I'm sure after seeing after the initial shock of seeing an angel wore off, there was still a question remaining in Mary's mind about getting pregnant without a man. We read this in the scriptures in the Gospel of Luke as though it happened in 30 seconds time. The angel appeared, said these words, and then disappeared. But I think it took a little while. I think it took some time. I doubt that Mary answered quickly. She had to think about that. You mean, I'm going to be pregnant? You know what a scandal that is? In spite of her fear, and I'm sure thoughts about that scandal, that this would mean that when she began to show that she was pregnant, that she was a handmaiden of the Lord, which meant it didn't matter to her. The scandal didn't matter to her. She put the word of the Lord above her own fears and doubts. She put the word of the Lord above her own fears and doubts. Are you a handmaiden or a servant of the Lord? Have you put the word of the Lord above your own doubts and fears? That's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Is there something in your life which seems impossible, yet it has been revealed to you that God will do his perfect work in that situation? The last words that the angel Gabriel said to Mary should be taken to heart for all of us. He said these words, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." With God, nothing will be impossible. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Okay. I love this prose written by an anonymous person in the 3rd century. "Speaking to you and revealing to you is Gabriel, the pre-eternal counsel from God. He came and stood before you, Maid Mary, and in greeting said, 'Rejoice, earth that has not been sown. Rejoice, burning bush that remains unconsumed. Rejoice, unsearchable depth. Rejoice, bridge that leads to heaven. Rejoice, ladder raised on high that Jacob saw. Rejoice, divine jar of manna from the desert. Rejoice, deliverance from the curse. Rejoice, restoration of Adam, for the Lord is with you.' And Mary replied, 'You appeared to me in the form of a man,' said the undefiled maid to the chief of the heavenly hosts. 'How then do you speak to me of things that pass human power? For you have said that God shall be with me and shall take up his dwelling in my womb. How shall I become the spacious habitation and the holy place of him that rides upon the cherubim? Do not amuse me with deceit, for I have not known pleasure. I have not entered into wedlock. How then should I bear a child?' Then the angel replied, 'When God so wills, the order of nature is overcome, and what is beyond humankind comes to pass. Believe that my sayings are true, all holy and immaculate lady.' And she cried aloud, 'Let it be to me according to your word. And I shall bear him that was without flesh. Who shall borrow flesh from me, that through this mingling he may lead humankind up to his ancient glory? For he alone has the power to do so.'" We're all kind of like Mary in ways, if you think about it, especially in one particular way that I think is really precious and relevant. When we partake of the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit, who has sanctified that which is of the earth, the bread and the wine, enters into us anew. Remember at the beginning of the Eucharist, the offertory, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness you have given to us this bread, which earth has given and human hands have made. It will become for us the body of Christ. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this blood to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become for us the blood of Christ." Christ is formed in us as we partake of him. We're like Mary that way, aren't we? For some people, the virgin birth is too much for them to grasp. A virgin can't have a baby. She must have known a man somehow. But if you believe in the mystery of the sacrament of baptism or the sacrament of the Eucharist, that same Holy Spirit who makes that sanctified and holy, made Mary sanctified and holy. That same Holy Spirit who hovered over the face of the earth of creation, that same Holy Spirit who descended upon Jesus at his baptism and is given to us at our baptism, that same Holy Spirit who overshadowed Mary and formed new life in her, that's the Holy Spirit that's with us and in us. He does the perfect work of God in us and guides us in our transformation. Do you believe in the presence of Jesus Christ in the elements of the Eucharist? If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
And is it true, I might ask, how is it that you believe that God is able to transform a thin wafer of unleavened bread into the body of Christ and a cup of wine into his blood, and not believe that he can form a child in the womb of a virgin or enter a room with his disciples where the doors and windows were closed? See, something that's closed and has never been opened doesn't stop God. Jesus can come in. At the perfect time, you see, he came. It says at the perfect time, Jesus came. What time was that? What time in humanity? At the perfect time, at a time when all the blessedness had pretty much vanished from the temple. People were going and doing their rituals, and the rituals had become rote, just another thing to do. When the religious leaders were just that, and only that, religious leaders. At a time when there were ruling factions and cliques who governed the people and who were corrupt and unfeeling towards the needs of the poor. At a time when modern thinking, 2,000 years ago, modern thinking was cynical and depressed. At a time when most people had no idea who God was, but equated him with the ones who ruled the temple and the synagogues. At a time when there were fishermen who would only take a chance, who would take a chance and leave all that they had in order to follow God's only begotten Son. At a time when a fickle populace were tossed about with every wind of doctrine and who were motivated by following rules and laws. At that time, the perfect timing of God, he saw fit to enter into our world of humanity through the virgin birth. He chose a maiden who would undo the curse of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we're listening to and obeying a fallen angel led to eternal death and damnation for everyone. By listening to and obeying an archangel who brought the word and will of God to Mary, she reversed that curse of the Garden of Eden, the curse of the law of sin and death, and she did that for us. God did that through her for us. It was quite a spectacle in Bethlehem that day, in Nazareth, in Galilee. Next Sunday is Christmas, and we'll celebrate the incarnation of God. But it was quite a spectacle, for indeed, what happened in that time, excuse me, what happened in that time would not be remembered some 29 years later. Think about that. Jesus grew up, was a carpenter's son, learned the skill, and went back to his home country 29 years later, 30 years later. And he performed a few miracles among them, but the people said, we know this guy. He was the one that, you know, Joe and Mary's son. They live down the street. They're carpenters. We know this guy. He can't do anything. He can't be the one. He can't be the Messiah. It was only 29 or 30 years later, and they forgot this spectacle. They forgot who he was. Even the people who lived in Bethlehem at the time, they forgot. There was nobody who stood up and said, wait a minute, remember back then, 30 years ago, when that star appeared, and this is that baby, this is that same, nobody did that. They were a fickle people, kind of like, well, kind of like people today, huh? Yeah, it was a time, a perfect time when God came into the world through Jesus Christ. And now today is the time for you and for us all. Now is the time for our salvation, isn't it? Now is the acceptable time for God to work in us and for Christ to be formed in us. Like the virgin maid who said, be it unto me according to your word, you must also say to God right now, be it unto me according to your word. Think it's impossible? No. Remember the last words of the angel Gabriel. those words for Mary and those words for us. The angel Gabriel, whose name Gabriel means the strength of God, said to Mary, "With God nothing is impossible." So let Christ be formed in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you receive the bread and the wine today at the Eucharist, if you think about it, the same thing is happening that happened to Mary. The impossible, the sacrament, the holiness is there. I'm receiving the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. I'm going to partake of it. And Christ is being formed in me all the days of my life. What a blessedness that was for Mary and for us today. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you thanks for your servant Mary, from whom we can take the true and blessed example, her obedience, Father, her willingness to risk everything and say, "Be it unto me according to your word." So, Father, we say that to you right now. Be it unto us, each one of us, according to your word. For behold, Lord, we're your handmaiden and servants. We're the ones, Father, that you can use. We give you permission, Lord. We give you permission to fill us with your Holy Spirit, to be formed in us all the days of our lives. And we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.